Hi, Maria. Welcome today.
Oh, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm so excited to have you here because we are talking about something really exciting, which is money and energy and all that good stuff. And you've been working with people for many, many years on their money and helping people have a stronger, healthy, more powerful relationship with their money. How did you come to do that?
Well, you know, this is it's a very embarrassing story, so I'll say it, okay? But it really is embarrassing. And, you know, most of our journeys start with something that is a breakdown, something that happens that's really not very good. And this happened with me about 30 years ago. I lost $35,000.
Wow.
On an unsecured promissory note. That means giving someone money that had no collateral of his to back it up. It was a Ponzi scheme. You know, we've heard of these Bernie Madoff schemes, and this is exactly what it was. I'd only known this man for about 2 months, and what's worse, I didn't even have the money myself. I borrowed it from an in-law at 10.5% because the man who I gave this money to said I'd be earning 32% on my investment. And, you know, the cautionary tale, first of all, is if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, you know. But the worst was yet to come for me because, you know, I gave him the money. My friends and colleagues and relatives told me not to do it, and I didn't listen. I don't know if any of you out there listening to me right now have ever done that, where people tell you not to do something, and you just don't listen, and that's what happened to me, you know. And when it happened, I was just, you know, I gave him the money, and literally he ran away with it.
Wow.
Just left. I lost it all, and you know, the sting of it was really terrible, and I ended up running back to my office at the time. You know, I'm a licensed clinical psychologist, as you know, and a master certified coach, and at that time, I had a big psychotherapy practice, and I tried to earn the money back before any of my friends would ask me what happened with the money. I mean, it was illogical, but you know, one of the things that happens, Pamela, when you run from your lessons, is that they end up following you.
Oh,
And it happened to me because about 3 months into this, as I'm avoiding contact with my friends and trying to earn money, I get a call from the Sacramento Bee, which is where I live here in Sacramento, and it was a reporter, and she said, you know, Dr. Nemeth, I was given your name from UC Davis, Davis School of Medicine, because at that time I was also supervising psychiatric interns. She said, we know that you know a lot of things in Sacramento, and we have this problem. And I remember just saying, you know, okay, I'll be happy to give you my expertise. And I had no idea that she was going to say, well, Dr. Nemeth, people in Sacramento have been suffering with a lot of Ponzi schemes, and we need to know from someone of your stature and training what kind of a person gets taken by those deals.
Ouch.
It was a big ouch, a huge, I mean, you couldn't have staged it any better. And the dam broke for me. Mm. I started telling her what had happened and how sorry I was and how terrible I felt. And to her credit, she did try to shut me up because she said, Dr. Nemeth, I'm writing this article. Are you sure you want to tell people? And I decided to face my dragon. You know, I decided to face the lesson, and I told the truth about it. And she printed it, what had happened to me. Mm-hmm. And my friends and colleagues and relatives, Pamela, they called me. But instead of asking me, you know, why did you do that? Mm-hmm. They started talking to me about their own relationship with money. And I saw that no matter how much or little money people had, there was always this kind of disempowerment worrying about it, feeling guilty about it, feeling anxious about it. And so I decided to lead a course that I knew I needed to learn from. Mm. And so, you know, I invited 22 friends, and I told them, I don't know how we're going to do this, but I promise if you stick with me, we are going to transform our relationship with money, because I don't know about you, I said to them, but I want this never, ever, ever to happen to me in any way, shape, or form. So the first group, you know, we just started in with the commitment to transforming. We asked a very difficult question, and that's usually how it starts. And the question was this: what is it that I don't want people to know about my relationship with money? What is it that's my secret?
Oh, my God.
You know, at that time, I called it my dirty little secret.
Wow.
You know, what would I pay other people thousands of dollars not to have to divulge to anybody? And so we started talking about our money secrets, and sure enough, out of that, I began to see a way through all that mess.
Mm-hmm.
And devised the first course that was called You and Money. It was about 30 years ago. And since then, the course has morphed into something called Mastering Life's Energies. And then some colleagues and I have started a coaching academy based upon some of the principles that I saw over the years. And, you know, Pamela, I didn't develop these principles. They're not new, but what I was able to do is learn from people who I considered to be the best in the world and take what they had written. And my question always was, all right, given this, how can I bring this into my everyday life? And so now we have this this academy, and we are teaching people to live life with clarity, focus, ease, and grace, no matter what it is they're up to.
And that is what is so powerful, and why I love your books in particular, is because you break it down into actually very practical, actionable steps that I can weave in on a day-by-day basis. So that to me is really the whole point of it. Because these concepts are wonderful, but if we can't work with them, then what do we do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. And so, you know, I work with people on a lot of different things, but really, we have some very strong programs if people want to learn how to be coaches, and we have strong programs if they want to learn how to transform their relationship with money.
Yeah.
So it's a very happy thing for me to be able to do.
Well, I want to dive into some of those things, in particular, transforming their relationship with money. And your most recent book is called Mastering Life's Energies, and the subtitle of it is Simple Steps to a Luminous Life at Work and Play. So this idea of luminosity is really interesting to me because, in particular, money is an energy, but that's not one that we generally think of as having a luminous relationship with. So, you know, what is this? What is luminosity? What does that mean? Is it the same as happiness?
No, it actually isn't, and thank you for asking me that question. Luminosity is actually a state of being that is transcendent to happiness. And let me give you an example, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When this is from my own childhood, it's the easiest way to explain it. My mom had a chain of bakeries, Pamela, in Los Angeles, and I grew up learning how to wash dishes and box cakes and all kinds of things before I graduated into something else. But there was one day, I was about 11 years old, and I was washing pots in the back.
Mm.
And there was this tub on the floor, this tub about 3 feet high, of this chocolate icing. It was lukewarm, and it was gushy, and there was this wonderful little film of butter on the top of this dark chocolate, and you could smell it, and it just made my mouth water just to look at it. And I was looking at it, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw my mom, and she looked at me. She said, "Okay, Maria, just do it. And what it was is she knew what I wanted to do. I rolled up my sleeve in my right arm, and I plunged it elbow deep into this soft, gooey chocolate, dark chocolate, and I pulled it out, and I started licking it. I mean, my hand smelled like chocolate for a whole week, but it was just the best. And that was a very happy moment. Happy, happy, happy. Well, luminosity. So fast forward about 2 years later, I'm 13 and a half. It's going to be Mother's Day, and I've been working at the bakery, and I saved up money to buy my mom a present. And I went to a department store to buy this present. I was really nervous because my mom had the best taste in the whole world, and I was afraid she wasn't going to like it. But I just had to buy her something. So I went and I bought her a pin that was a sheaf of wheat, gold-plated. And I'm riding back from the department store to the house, and I'm all nervous. The next morning, it's Mother's Day, and she opens this box that I'm giving her. And she opens it, and she looks at the sheaf of wheat, and she says, "Oh, honey, this is the best thing you could have bought me. It just, this absolutely is perfect." Because, you know, it relates to my bakery, and she just, and I saw her smiling at me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, years later, my mom had passed away, and most of the things she left me in terms of jewelry were stolen over the years, you know, burgled, all except this gold-plated sheaf of wheat, which I still have to this day. And I tell you, every time I put it on, every time, and this is years later, Pamela, every time, I see my mother's eyes smiling at me. And so this is the definition, this is the difference. In a happy moment, I knew that my mother loved me, but in a luminous moment, I knew that my mom knew how much I loved her. And that's luminosity, when you see the difference you're making in another person's life. You know, you're absolutely, you have this sense that you're doing exactly what you're meant to be doing right there and now. And that you are glad to be living your life and nobody else's life. And it's these luminous moments are like, if you could imagine these beautiful Chinese lanterns that have a golden glow, and you look back on your life and you see this path, and all along this path are these beautiful lanterns, and each one of them represents a luminous moment. I mean, it's so wonderful to be able to turn around at any moment and see those times in which you know you made the difference. And when a moment is luminous, it may not be a happy moment because, for instance, you can be with a very ill friend and being with them and taking care of them or talking with them, and you're not happy. But there's a sense of I'm so glad I'm doing this. Now, how does money fit into that? Well, for me, very clearly, I was able to save the money to buy that present for my mom. And what I ask people to do, and even the people who are listening to me right now, is to ask yourselves, where in my life have I done something with money that was luminous? You know, and the four qualities of a luminous moment is this, clarity, I'm clear about what I'm doing, focus, it means I'm focused on doing that thing, ease, it means I'm doing things without struggle, and then grace, and grace is very important to luminosity. Grace is the sense of an unearned blessing. And the way to experience grace in my life is through gratitude. You know, and you can think of times that you were grateful, maybe, that you had the money to do something, maybe to contribute to a wedding gift for a friend, or to contribute to a cause or a program or something that had real meaning for you. You see, mm-hmm. those are luminous moments where we see with money that we have a sense of agency, not emergency, but agency, and where agency means I'm powerful, I don't worry about money, mm-hmm. it is now my friend, mm-hmm. it's my ally, and I'm doing with it what I'm meant to be doing. And when people have these breakthroughs, Pamela, they end up doing a lot of things, like maybe earning the amount of money that they've always wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, people who work with me, they have that experience in these programs of doubling or tripling their income. For other people, earning money isn't the thing, but worrying about that money is. Mm-hmm. So to have a breakthrough, to experience luminous moments, you see, counteracts all that worry, doubt, and fear. Is that clear?
Yeah. Yeah, it's completely clear. I mean, it's interesting because it's making me think of a moment that I actually woke up thinking about this morning, which, you know, it's just very much serendipity because on my 50th birthday, I had a party in New York City, and it was just a lovely, wonderful, magical gathering. And after that party, we had a lot of food left over. And I was thinking about how the next day I had been walking the streets of New York, and it was early evening, and I had come across a young man sleeping in a doorway. And I went to him, and I said, are you going to be here for a little bit? And he said, yeah. I mean, he looked at me like I was crazy because, you know, who goes up to people in New York and just says, hey, are you going to be around for a while? I'm
Absolutely.
Sure he wasn't used to anybody talking to him. And so I went back to the hotel room and I went and I got all this food. And it was wonderful, beautiful, lovely, healthy food. And I put it in a big grocery bag. And I went back. But on my way back, I also stopped at the bank. And I took out some cash, and I stuck it in my pocket. And so I went back over to him, and I said, hey, you know, I'm back. And he was like, oh, okay. And so then I said, I brought you some food. And he said, okay. So I started unpacking the bag. And it was just, it was an abundance of food. And he said to me, what am I going to do with all this food? And I said, you're going to share it with others like I shared it with you. And so he thought for a moment. He said, okay, I know what I'm going to do with that. And I said, okay, great. And then I took my hand in my pocket and I pulled out the money and I took his hand and I just put it in there and I held his hand for a moment. And he just started to tear up like nobody had ever given so much to him. And then he gave me a hug.
Oh.
And it was just this moment, and I woke up this morning thinking about this, and I thought, you know, that in all of my life, that would be a lantern, to use your analogy.
That's it.
Right, exactly. Where, you know, whatever I'd done to earn that money that I could put into his hand and hold his hand in that moment, and who knew, because he'd been sleeping on the street the last time somebody had touched him. And he gave me this hug, and I don't know where he is or what he's doing, but in that moment, you know, I had full agency.
There you go.
Right. So tell us, Maria, though, what stops us? What blocks us? Okay, because, yeah, that was a great moment, but, you know, hey, there are lots of stressful moments that come into this, especially being an entrepreneur. So, so what is going on when we're stressed with money?
Oh, let me tell you what's going on. And please, everyone who's listening, everyone who can hear my voice, please know that when you hear us talking about stress and money and you experience it, you are not alone. You're absolutely not alone. And it is normal and natural. By that, I mean normal. Everybody has money stress. They have these worries, doubts, and fears about money. Natural means we don't have to be taught to have that. You know, our brain manufactures it for us. So it's normal and natural, but it's not exceptional. And I know, especially working with entrepreneurs and people who are in mission-driven, heart-centered businesses that want to make a difference, you know, you want to have an extraordinary relationship with money. So there is a way of conceptualizing what you're up to in life that I call the playing field. And on the playing field, our job is to take something from visionary reality mm-hmm. and put it into physical reality, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, an idea into action. But just as you're starting to put something in physical reality, Pamela, we hit up against this border. I call it trouble at the border.
Ooh.
And the minute that happens, number one, it takes a lot more energy to begin the thing than we thought we would. Mm-hmm. And energy meaning maybe money or time or the other forms of energy that I teach people about. It takes maybe sometimes 10 times more energy. And the second thing is it gives rise to monkey mind. Now, monkey mind is a definition that I borrowed from Buddhism. It stands for that aspect of the mind that is always chattering at us as it swings from doubt to worry and back to doubt again.
Mm.
But another way of seeing it is it's that aspect of our brain that is geared toward looking for everything that could go wrong. The neurophysiologists are now beginning to see that this is a natural syndrome for our brain, because our brain, it turns out, Pamela, is over 100,000 years old.
Ooh.
And so we literally have, in many ways, many of the same structures that our ancestors who lived in caves had.
Mm.
And, of course, one of the things is that, you know, the minute you try something new, your brain is going to try to look for all the dangers, that
okay.
negativity bias. So what do you do? What do you do?
Yeah, because I'm telling you, my coaching clients ask that question all the time. They think,
what do you do?
And they're so happy. I mean, they're going to be so happy to hear this, that
good.
Everybody has this, and that, you know, they are not
oh,
alone
yeah.
because, you know, we know, but they don't know. And they think that there's something wrong with their head or their brain because all of this noise is going on. How do we combat this monkey mind?
Well, I'll show you. And first of all, believe it or not, we don't even have to combat it. All we have to do is observe it,
mm-hmm.
not analyze, but observe. The first thing to observe is this. That your monkey mind is 95% is a sign, 95% of the times is a sign that you're doing something right, not something wrong. I'm going to say that again. When you hear those self-limiting internal dialogues in your head, it's usually a sign that you're doing something right, not something wrong. You are going outside of your comfort zone. You are doing something that you hadn't done before. And that's why your mind kicks in like that. And that's why we need coaches.
Yeah.
Because really, if you wait until your monkey mind is going to go away, I mean, if you think you can wait, you're going to be waiting for 88 years. Yeah, I mean, really,
yeah.
There's no way to wait and have it happen. So what you want to do is you want to be able to observe when you are functioning in monkey mind. And by that, I mean, you want to be able to observe the quality and the nature of monkey mind symptoms.
Mm.
So to that end, I have gotten together something that I call the Monkey Mind Symptom Checklist.
Hmm.
And all people need to do, if they want to, is to download that Monkey Mind Symptom Checklist. And later on, I'll give you the URL for it.
Awesome.
But seeing the check, seeing, being able to diagnose the symptom. Number two, always pick the smallest action when you're at the border. Do not overpromise. And as a coach, this is when you need a coach.
Right.
Because a coach is going to tell you whether or not the promise you're making is authentic or whether it is driven.
Mm.
Okay? And that's why we need coaches, because a coach will say, like my buddies who coach me, Maria, are you sure you can really get all that done today, or is that just really going to give rise to your monkey mind?
Right.
So you want to slip underneath.
Wow.
Okay? You want to slip underneath.
Wow.
The next thing you want to do, so that helps. Small actions get you below the monkey mind radar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think of it. When you approach the border, well, look, if you dive off of a bridge and you hit the water, you're going to die. And the reason why is it's not that you're going to drown. It's that you're hitting the water at such velocity.
Right.
That it acts as concrete versus going into the water one step at a time or maybe from a 5 or 10 foot diving board.
Right.
It's the same thing with the border.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to pile on too much activity just to get through the darn thing, it's going to give rise to more monkey mind. So go slower, smaller steps, let people support you. This
mm-hmm.
is a good time for a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Surround yourself with other people as well who can see the best in you and your idea and keep going. And then learn how to identify when you're dancing with monkey mind.
Mm.
And that's what the symptom checklist is all about. So you can see concretely and, you know, I just use it as you want. Because I want people to be able to observe, because the minute you observe monkey mind, you can say something like this, Pamela. You can say, thank you for sharing monkey mind, but I'm going to concentrate on my goal instead of you.
Ah, that's a power statement.
Thank you for sharing. And see, we don't try to beat it back.
Right.
We have compassion. Have compassion for that poor brain.
Just triggered doing what it was programmed to do 100,000 years ago, right?
You got it.
That's exactly
brilliantly
it.
Said. Brilliantly said, my dear. That's exactly it. So I hope this is useful for your listeners.
Absolutely. And gosh, we could be talking forever. I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. Is there so much like packed in what you're saying? But I am mindful of the time. So I want to just wrap up by asking you just a couple simple steps that our listeners can do to start bringing more luminosity into their relationship with money.
Very good. So this is how you can do it. You can ask yourself a number of questions. One question is this: am I using money in the way that brings real value to me, or am I leaking money?
Mm.
Now, leaking money means it literally is running through my fingers, you know, like standing in line at a grocery store. And you put three or four little tchotchkes in your cart because you're waiting, and maybe a magazine or two.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the time, you say to yourself, you know, what did I do?
Mm.
What did I do? You know, why did I buy that?
Mm-hmm.
That's leaking money.
Okay.
Versus spending it consciously, meaning what will bring joy to me, joy to another person, what will contribute to my life or their life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
These, you start asking yourself important questions. The next thing you can do is every day, and this is kind of for me the most powerful of all,
mm-hmm.
in a little notebook by your bed, make a list of three things every day that you're grateful for.
Mm.
have one of them be about your relationship with money.
Ooh,
we want to pump gratitude into that relationship.
Ooh, I love
that.
See,
we want to channel gratitude. You want to be a conduit of gratitude into that relationship, because the more you pump that sort of energy, the more you will see the relationship begin to flourish and grow. And one of the signs of that will be you're less anxious, you're more creative, you're seeing about ways to make more money if that's what you want, you're seeing ways to put your money toward what it is that you really love. It starts with these things I've been telling you and topping it off with this gratitude exercise.
Right, because as you said before, gratitude is a key element of luminosity.
Yep.
Perfect.
So you see how it all works together, huh?
Yeah, love it. Well, and that makes it very simple too, right? So
yes.
there's a lot less brain strain doing it that way. And I love that in particular with the gratitude list, because this is something that I always recommend to my clients and that I actually practice myself. So I will be taking this tip too.
Wonderful.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Maria. And thank you also for that offer, which I will wrap up by letting people know. But maybe you can just tell us that URL where we can download.
Absolutely. The URL that you can download the Monkey Mind Checklist is simple. It's monkeymindchecklist.com.
Ooh, that is easy.
Really, just one big word, monkeymindchecklist.com. And after you sign up for this gift, you'll see a special invitation if you want to do a strategy session with me. Or maybe even one of my master coaches, and it'll be at no cost to you. It's an opportunity, and this is what I love with people, to see where there's a crimp in your hose when it comes to money. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, what your next best move is. So monkeymindchecklist.com, please download and use the gift. And if you want a strategy session with me, say so, and I'll talk to you.
Wonderful. Well, that is a fabulous opportunity that I know our listeners will definitely take advantage of. Thank you so much, Maria, for appearing on the show today. It has been wonderful, and you've given so much valuable information. I think we'll have to have you back sometime in the future.
I would love it, Pamela. Thank you so much.